Let's head to the hotline, joined now by Chris Turnage. Chris, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, guys. Pretty good.
Back from Mobile?
Yeah, back from Mobile and now heading down to Dallas for the last All-Star game in kind of the All-Star game cycle called the College Gridiron Classic. And so it'll be the last one.
Where will that one be played?
They're playing it at University of Texas Arlington.
Okay.
What? Write the bowl games these postseason. Now, is Senior Bowl still the best? Is the East-West Shrine still the second best? You know, kind of rate these. What is the prestige, I guess, if you get invited to one of these games? Is the Senior Bowl still the one?
Senior Bowl is clear number one. I mean, they've got the NFL support and NFL coaching staff actually coach the team during the week. And so they're the clear number one if you can go there you want to. East-West is still number two, and that's kind of based on the number of players that get drafted and highly drafted players, I guess. And then really number three is kind of a tie between what's called NFLPA game, which is the same week as the East-West, and then the Medal of Honor game, which is actually only in its second year, but it's done very well. And there was – I was at that the first week, and that was where we had Bray Cook and Cameron Jefferson and Demetrius Wilson playing in it. There was over 100 scouts at that one. And then really this gridiron game is kind of the fourth one in the pecking order, but it's still good. I mean, you're still going to have – there's, I think, credentials – 105 scouts got credentials for the game, so you're still going to have a pretty good platform in it. But, again, it's probably the last one of the major five.
Chris, which of the games was the one that took place at War Memorial a couple of years ago?
That's actually this kind of the same one, the College Gridiron game. It's run by the same organizers, and that was the one that was in Little Rock there a couple years ago, and it went away the next year. But that's the same group is doing this one in Dallas.
And before we get into some Arkansas player questions, I want to ask you two offensive players, two defensive players that help their stock the most. It happens every year, and then two offensive, two defensives that hurt their stock the most.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, and this guy was already going to be a high pick, but Danny Shelton, the defensive tackle out of Washington, he was already going to be a first-round pick, but I think he solidified a top 15 overall spot by his play in Mobile. I mean, he was throwing people around like ragdoll as far as the offensive linemen. You're talking about some of the best offensive linemen in the country.
Right.
And he was just making them look silly at times. So I think he definitely helped himself, solidified himself as a top 10, top 15 overall pick. And I personally think he was probably the best player there at the Senior Bowl.
Wow. Who do you compare? Who would he compare to NFL? Would it be like a Haloti Ngata and Dominic Sue?
He's a little smaller than Ngata, but I would say that same type of game.
That kid from Pitt, what was it, Aaron Donaldson?
Donald. He's a little bit bigger than Donald, but yeah, I mean.
He's strong, though, is what you're saying.
He's stronger than Donald, too.
Yeah.
So I would say it's more like a Ngata.
What about Geno Atkins? He's a little undersized. He's pretty good.
Yeah, it could be something like that. But like I said, I think he would get my best player nod. And then another offensive guy, or a swooping over offensive guy, I would say Amir Abdullah. If you watch the game, he got most outstanding player. And, it was crazy when I saw him in person. He was tiny. He was like 5'8". He wasn't even 5'9", 5'8 and a half maybe. And, he was ripped up. But he showed definitely some versatility and that he could move out there.
Would he be like a – I always like to get a compare. Would he be like a Wark Dunn?
No, he's not. I don't think he's that fast.
Yeah.
I think he's got more of a power game to him than a Wark Dunn. You know, I think you're probably maybe looking at more of an Alfred Morris type guy.
Okay.
He's quick. He's got – I wouldn't consider more of that of a scat back, even though he's that small.
Like a Clinton Portis, maybe, one of those.
Yeah, like a Portis that will still run in between the tackles.
Okay.
And hang around a little bit. And so, everybody devalues the running back now in NFL, but he definitely helped the stock with that performance. And then, I talked about when I was on earlier with you guys, Bryce Petty, but I think he actually hurt himself a little bit. The quarterbacks just overall didn't do great. And I think he kind of hurt himself a little bit this week, just based on the overall performance. Again, not very much, but I do think he hurt himself a little. And then, as far as the quarterback that helped themselves the most, I think Garrett Grayson out of Colorado State. I mean, I think he stepped up, and a lot of scouts were talking about it positively and saying, they really liked what he brought to the table. So just those are kind of guys that really stood out one way or the other. There was a kid from, and his name just actually slipped my mind, but a tackle from Iowa.
He's the number one rated tackle in the country, yeah.
And he didn't do as much as what people wanted to see, so yeah. he might have hurt himself a little bit.
Wow.
In the game.
I saw a big board. It was, I don't know if it was Mel Kiper or whatever, but they actually had him as the first offensive lineman being taken, but that was before the Senior Bowl.
And, you know, Cedric Ogbuhi out of A&M, he probably would have competed for that spot, but he tore his ACL recently.
Oh.
And so who knows what's going to happen there, but he would have been right up there with the Jake Matthews and some of the other A&M linemen that came out. They were, you know, been fighting for that number one offensive lineman spot had he not torn his ACL.
Well, Chris, talk about the Arkansans that were down there. Two Razorbacks in Trey Flowers and Martrell Spate.
And was Spate
Martrell
the
Spate,
defensive?
Five tackles.
Was he the MVP, though, defensive MVP? Oh, okay.
No, he didn't, but he had several tackles. I think both of them really helped their stock overall throughout the week. Like I said, I think, you know, Martrell struggled a little bit in pass coverage during practice, which we saw that some during the season anyways, but he definitely helped the stock, and some of the guys, the scouts that I was standing by or talking to said, you know, he was very active. They really liked his motion. They wanted to see his top-end speed, but that they really liked how active he was. It seemed like he was always kind of in and around the ball, and that's what the Arkansas Razorback fans have seen, I guess, all year. And then Trey Flowers, they said, really, really just kind of helped solidify himself in that upper echelon of defensive ends, and I think you're going to see Trey and probably the second round. I really feel he's a solid second round guy at this point. You know, and if he comes and blows the combine away, he might could sneak up in that lower first round. But I think you're going to see him as a solid second rounder that he kind of helps solidify this week.
I see Spate now. Is he going to be a middle linebacker or a wheel linebacker? What does he translate to in the NFL?
You know, that's an interesting question because they were playing him at Sam, Will, and Mike.
Yeah.
They're just to kind of, I think, get a feel for what he could do. I think you're probably going to see him as a Mike more so just because of that top end speed.
And he doesn't have to cover. I don't need my Mike linebacker. I need him making tackles, so that's
exactly
fine. That's why I was asking. Yeah.
And I
see him more as a gamer too. Not that he's not a good practice player, but I ask you because your Mike linebacker, he needs to be able to know where to drop in zone coverage, but there's, you know, very, very, very rarely do I want my Mike linebacker matched up one-on-one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I think that's going to kind of take his weakness with his pass coverage and maybe that top-end speed and just maximize his activity and go into the ball and put him at Mike and let him go.
Does he have a high enough football IQ? Is he smart enough? Because that Mike linebacker is almost like a quarterback out there as far as getting everybody lined up. Do you think he'll be, you know, is he smart enough to do that?
Yeah, I think he will. And in fact, you know, for the fans that are listening, when you see that green dot on the helmet, they can have one on offense and one on defense. And Matt's right. Usually it's that Mike linebacker that's wearing the green dot, which means they can communicate with the defensive coordinator pre-snap through that helmet. And so, you know, I've never actually sat down and talked football with Martrell, but the word I got from the personnel guys down there is they felt like he could certainly do that his football IQ was good,
good
enough to where that wouldn't
good
be an issue. So,
Chris, what was the talk down there around Mobile and with some of the other NFL personnel about the Super Bowl coming up, Super Bowl 49?
You know, I'll tell you, it's I think everybody thinks it's going to be a great matchup. I was talking to a couple of Green Bay executives, and as you can imagine, they were pretty heartbroken about the situation. They felt like they should be there and should be competing against Seattle and felt like, and competing against
New England.
New England and felt like they matched up pretty well against New England. And so they were pretty heartbroken about that. But, you know, for the most part, I think everybody feels like, mutual respect among the players and stuff. It feels like these are two really good teams, and it's going to be a great Super Bowl, and they have two really good coaches. You know, the interesting thing, too, obviously, Deflategate was a big topic of conversation down in Mobile, and I had a couple guys tell me, you know, they think the Patriots will get punished, but nothing like Spygate situation, nothing to that extreme, but that they felt like they would, you know, see some type of ramification or punishment just from the standpoint of to the public eye.
You got to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you have a Senior Bowl question for Turnage, 433-1037, I know we talked enough about that Deflategate, and I don't know if you saw the press conference, but every quarterback I've ever been around, they don't just say, I show up and just play with whatever ball they I mean, come on, Tom. Nobody's believing that one. And I'm a Tom Brady fan.
So if they put a Nerf ball in there, he would just show up and say, okay, well, I guess we're playing with that today.
I mean, come – and especially a guy as detailed as him as far as you don't make it to six Super Bowls if you're not detailed and know what's going on.
Exactly. And typically, I mean, I'm sure, like you said, you guys have beat this horse to death, but typically, you know, the way it works in a lot of scenarios is – the head coach probably doesn't really care. Usually the quarterback's going to go get with his ball boys that are responsible for that. Say, hey, this is where I like the ball, that whatever. Make sure they're here. And they rub them down. They get them to that. They know exactly how the quarterback likes them. And it's usually directed by the quarterback, usually.
In Jacksonville, it wasn't the head equipment manager, but it was the assistant equipment manager, and he was there all 4 years that I was there, if it was Leftwich or Garrard. And I've been in there plenty of times when the quarterback's in there saying, I want it like this, and that's the guy that scuffed it up or did whatever.
Exactly.
And so,
exactly.
Yeah, that's it. Just it happens every game, so I just don't buy it.
How about Belichick doing an impromptu press conference saying that he did some research on it? And the funniest thing to me is we knew that it would make it in the Super Bowl week. Belichick said he's done talking about it, so I would assume that he told the players they're done talking
about
it.
A question
yeah,
about
but
it. Yeah.
They asked the Seahawks about not necessarily that, but they asked Richard Sherman, do you think they'll be punished? And he said, no, I don't think so. Bob Kraft and Roger Goodell are buddies.
he would say they're going to get punished something, but it'll be like a month after the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Or right
before
the draft,
right.
And nobody really kind of see. You know, they'll do it at Friday at 6 o'clock.
Course, they just want to poke because they know who to go to get that type
right.
of comment. But he said
exactly.
that Roger Goodell was just at Kraft's house for the AFC Championship game.
Yeah,
well, he had
hat
on. Did y'all see? I remember when I was I don't know if I told Trey or if I said something new if you were out, but
a Boston hat?
He had a hat on that had a B on it at one of those playoff games.
Yes.
And I think it was the Patriots game.
Wow.
It might have been, certainly. And, you know, the other thing is the NFLPA sent a memo to all players instructing them not to talk about it this week. They just said, if you're asked about it, move on. Don't even talk about it. This is the week to celebrate the Super Bowl. And so that came from the NFLPA. But then, like Joe said, media knows who to go to kind of poke the bear and get a comment.
That's it.
No matter what, you know.
No question. Hey, Chris, we got a question on our Keithley Service Company Live fan feedback. It's not really a question, but Big Nasty Chris and Cavett says, how about Desmond Lewis from UCA at Senior Bowl? He should get a birdie. Talk about Desmond Lewis.
Absolutely. You know, Desmond Lewis came in and he was getting a little buzz coming in just because he's about 6'4". And so that's hard to find a lot of times. You know, the rule of thumb that I've heard numerous personnel executives say in the NFL are receivers are a dime a dozen. The 5'10", 5'11" receivers are a dime a dozen. So you better be very fast, special, or you better be tall and big, you know. So you got to have something to help set you apart on that. And so Desmond had a little buzz coming in because of his height, and he certainly helped himself. I think he was probably a seventh-round guy coming in, and I think as of right now, this moment, he's probably a fifth, sixth-round guy. But he's a guy that showed a little bit of separation going against some of the DBs one-on-one, and then he made a nice diving catch one day fully extended and fully laid out. And a lot of the people, even the scouts and stuff, you could hear him kind of say, wow. So I think he's a guy that certainly helped himself. Now, again, his question is going to be if he comes out and he runs, you know, 4.59 or 4.58 at the combine, that's going to hurt him. But if he can get down to that low 4.5s or high 4.4s, then that'll kind of help keep his stock on the rise.
What's his body like? If, you know, if he goes out there and runs a 4.63, is his body type big enough where the way this is, and I'm not saying he could be the Y tight end, but he could be the H tight end, or do you think he just has to stay at receiver?
No, I don't think he'd have to pack on quite a few pounds, honestly, to play the Y or H. I mean, I don't think they would see him as that, so I think he's going to have to. I asked him why he was there. I said, you know, hey, what do you think you're going to run? And he said, oh, probably, you know, mid-4.4s, but what I've learned over the years, a lot of times when you ask the player directly, very rarely do they say slower than what they actually run. They usually say a little faster. So,
right.
So we'll see. But if he can come out and have a you know, run well, then he's a guy that I think certainly teams will start targeting about that fifth round.
Chris, any reaction from any of the scouts down there or NFL personnel about Darius Filon and the chances of him going, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round?
You know, I talked to a couple guys that I have some good relations with just to get a feel for it so that I could kind of be able to relay to you guys. And everything that I've gotten is they think he will probably get drafted, but it's probably going to be, you know, somewhere in that third day range, somewhere in that fourth to seventh round situation is kind of what they're thinking. You know, one guy told me, he said, I like his production, and he was in the SEC. I mean, he said if he was doing that to Mac, I would say no way. I would, but he said I like his production in the SEC. Despite his size, he was still productive going against, you know, some of the bigger and better offensive lines in the country. So I think you're going to see him certainly get drafted, but I don't think he's going to be second or third day unless he blows up. And I don't even, to be honest, I don't know if he has a combine invite or not. But if he does,
when do those go out?
You know, they should have actually for juniors. They should have started getting finalized last week.
Yeah.
Most of the seniors, the way that works, most they'll kind of give the first round of seniors theirs, and then they'll hold some back and see how many juniors are going to get in. And then once they determine how many juniors, they'll go back and then fill the rest with those seniors that were kind of on the bubble. And so he should have gotten it last week or at the end of the week before. I just haven't heard if he got one or not.
And I think he gets drafted.
I really do.
And I think he can play on Sundays. Is he a year away? He could be a year. I mean, he could be a year or two away where a team, they take him in the fifth or sixth round and they can take a chance, put him on the practice squad or
right.
they can, you know, if injuries happen or whatever. But he might be 2 years away from being really good. As an Arkansas fan, you wish he would have came
right.
back for another year. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And I think I said before, you know, I mean, he's one of those guys that I don't think even if he would have come back, I don't think he's working his way up to the first round or anything.
He would have probably
like
been
that.
Like a fourth rounder or something.
Yeah, he might could have worked it up a little bit. And so, you know, again, you look at it, fourth round guy still going to get, you know, 420-plus guaranteed on a sign of bonus. And typically, a fourth round guy is definitely going to make the team that first year, you know, if you're fourth round.
You get a couple years, yeah.
And yeah, so that's another 420. So, you know, I mean, he can walk away that first year with 820, 830, 840 guaranteed, which is still quite a bit of money, especially if you know, he and his family are in a financial situation.
All right, Chris, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.